Today on More to Life, The Tempest. Struggling with anger or angry people? Let us help you calm the storm. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with it.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, The Tempest. And we thanketh thee, good sirs and ladies, for tuningeth in to our radio production.
You have some people going, what in the world is he doing?
We're doing the Shakespeare play, The Tempest.
Yeah, there you go. For those of you For those of you who are a couple minutes away from high school and having to read it, that's the reference.
Is this a dagger I see before me?
No, right, but so we all know, like, you're mixing your Shakespeare. But it, you know, there's also the phrase "the tempest in the teacup." It's a storm. It's something that is not very welcome in most places, and it's certainly not welcome in our relationships. When you have a relationship with someone or a group of someone's, and that storm, that emotional storm comes in, the emotional temperatures rise. You start arguing about stuff. There's anger between you and the other. That's a tempest none of us really want to be living in. It doesn't feel good, and it does do some destructive damage to our relationships at times, if not handled well.
That's right. So if you are struggling with anger or angry people, we want to help you calm the storm. So tell us, you know, first of all, is there somebody in your life who's good at making you angry?
Right? Who's good at making you angry?
I mean, everybody needs a hobby, right?
And some people have it, right? Yeah, I know one or two people who have brought that to an art form.
Yeah.
You know, they really do enjoy the power they get by being able to control the narrative just enough to get people
That's right.
Angry.
You know, and there are just some people who are really good at getting under our skin. And that, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, can be somebody really close to us, like our spouse or our child, whether that's a young child or an adult child. Kids really do know how to push our buttons. Sometimes it might be our parents or a friend or a family member. For that matter, maybe you have to deal with somebody who doesn't think twice about taking their anger out on you. How dare they? Well, however anger is stirring things up for you, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to calm the storm and experience greater peace in your life and relationships. The number, 877-573-7825. Join the conversation. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. And let us help you find grace-filled solutions to those people who provoke you to anger or take their anger out on you.
And I have to say, most of our wonderful listeners who are finding themselves landed on an EWTN affiliate station or on EWTN online or however you're listening to us today may be here because they want to get away from all of the, oh, please forgive the word, triggers that are happening in the secular world. We cannot. There's not a human in this country, and I don't think any other at this point, who can turn on secular news or look at secular social media and not have someone trying to provoke us to anger just so they can get likes, just so they can up their you know, ratings on social media or on TV or on secular radio, because it works, because we are built to not tolerate injustice as children of God, when we see injustice, our bodies respond to that with anger, with wanting to fix it because it's not in right order. We also respond with anger as our body's response to protect us from something. If we feel threatened, we often get angry because that will give us, on a very primal level, the energy to go and fix it and protect ourselves. And the social media / secular media world knows it and is literally banking on it. And so everyone over the last few years, especially now, is being bombarded with things that will provoke us to anger. Pretty much, not just on the daily, but every hour, every minute sometimes, depending on how much time we spend on a device. And here on your EWTN station, we're here to help you not just talk about anger, but to find ways to heal those relationships, to know the godly, healthy way to actually move out of that and have effective change in your life, and connect you with God's grace here on More to Life today.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825. As Lisa was pointing out, the fact is anger isn't always bad. In fact, anger in itself is not bad at all. It's just how we use it and how we direct that energy. It's like fire, right? Fire isn't bad if you use it properly.
If you're cooking, if you're cuddling up by the fireplace, if you're making s'mores in the summer, whatever those are. But when it runs roughshod, we know how destructive it can be.
So let us help. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that? And how could it possibly help me deal with anger or angry people? Well, I'm glad you asked. So, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections that looked at how we could discover God's plan for living a healthier, holier, more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
Now, the theology of the body reminds us that every individual is a unique and unrepeatable person. And that is beautiful and sounds wonderful. But then we realize it means that everyone is different than we are, and somehow we have to learn to deal respectfully with those differences instead of feeling put off or threatened by them. It's easy to get angry at the things people do, especially when they are habitually difficult to deal with. But the theology of the body would remind us that the only appropriate response to people, even irritating people, is love. But that's where it actually gets complicated, because often we think that we just have to be nice to irritating people, and then when we fail, it makes us even angrier.
Yeah, right? It's like okay, I just have to let it go. I have to be nice. I have to be, whatever. And then, we can't. So then we get frustrated with ourselves, which just makes us angrier at them for frustrating us. We're being frustrated. Fortunately, there's more to it than that. So it's true that sometimes loving somebody means bearing the wrongs they commit against us patiently. That's a spiritual work of mercy. And that's particularly applicable when their offensive behavior maybe is out of character, right? Because in those times, it's good to just give the other person a little bit of space to self-correct, right? That's why that's a work of mercy. But other times, there's another spiritual work of mercy that comes into practice, which is admonishing the sinner, right? Challenging that person by setting appropriate boundaries or talking to them directly so that they can be encouraged to repent and change. St. John Paul said that it wasn't enough to be loving. We have to love responsibly. In other words, we have to have the ability to respond in a way that brings out the best in the other person, or at least invites them to be their best, because we can't control whether they accept that invitation or not. Knowing the best way to be loving, to work for the good of another person in the moment, especially when we're dealing with people we find irritating or upsetting, requires us to check our tendency to either reactively be firm or be reactively nice. And instead, we need to learn how to be receptive to the ways that God is moving in the moment and how he's specifically asking us to work for that other person, that irritating person. It's good. Okay, so that gives us the target that we're aiming for, right? But how do we get there? That's what we want to talk about on today's show, titled The Tempest, as we talk about the struggles we all have with our own anger and the ways that people provoke us to anger, and the angry people in our life who have no problem taking their anger out on us. Do you have somebody in your life who's good at making you angry? Somebody who knows just how to get under your skin. That could be somebody close to you, like your spouse or your child. It could be your parents, maybe a friend or family member, or just somebody that you have to deal with regularly. For that matter, maybe you have to put up with somebody who doesn't think twice about taking their anger out on you. Well, however anger is stirring things up for you, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to calm the storm and experience greater peace in all of your relationships. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you our own anger and the times when other people provoke us to anger. We also bring to you those angry people that we have to deal with in our life. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to not be afraid of anger, but also not to be carried away by our anger. Help us to know how to respond to anger in ways that allow us to do what anger is intended to do, to help us identify injustices and offenses, and work proactively, appropriately, to resolve those challenges. So that in the face of those difficulties and in the face of the anger that we feel or that's directed at us, we're able to cooperate with your grace, to glorify you, to be our best selves, and to invite the other people involved to be their best selves too. Help us, as your servant St. John Paul reminded us, to love responsibly, to have that ability to respond in ways that bring out the best in us and the others, so that even when we're angry, we can walk together toward your will. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, The Tempest, we're talking about struggling with our own anger and the people who provoke us to anger, and also the angry people in our life that have no problem lashing out and taking their anger out on us. Anger isn't a lot of fun to deal with. We have a complicated relationship as Christians with anger. So let's talk about how to manage anger and angry people gracefully. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Teresa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Teresa, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi. I think I need your prayers, because I need some help with handling getting very angry with my spouse because of issues that we have had over the years that I think will be resolved, and then they aren't. And I think...
Can you give me an example of like one of those things that Talk to me about one of those things that you're saying you thought was resolved, but then it keeps coming up over and over again.
Infidelity. Having trust, no secrets, and mostly that.
And well, that's a big one. I mean, that kind of cuts right to the heart of your whole relationship. So, when you say that you want to work on your anger, I think the thing is, you know, what you're describing here is anger is the appropriate response to that.
Infidelity is not just us being hurt, but it's an injustice against the sacrament.
Anger is meant as God's way of calling. God gave us anger, right? So He gives us anger,
right,
so that we can identify offenses and responses. So when you say you want to work on your anger in light of your husband's infidelities, what do you mean?
Well, I have stayed We are still married, a very long, many years. And again, I get, you know, I should just walk away. In fact, I have had a priest that said, you can. It's okay. The situation, you can. The church says, it's okay. You can walk away. But I also have a family, and despite everything, I love my husband.
Now, Teresa, let me ask you this question. There's a huge spance between I just stay or I just go. So what have you two done other than saying, don't do that anymore, and him saying, okay, I won't? What have you done to address this issue in your marriage? How have you worked on it together? What resources have you used so we know where you're at and how you've addressed it?
Okay, sure. I've gone to counseling. And
You have? Has he gone with you?
Once or twice, but he won't. Mm.
So I want to address something you said. So I understand you've been to counseling, and I'm going to suggest maybe that you get back into it. But here's one thing I want to clarify for you. You said you love your husband, okay? And I believe you, right? But it's important to understand what love really is, because I think that to love somebody means to work for their good, okay? And that means being willing to do whatever it takes to challenge him to be the man that he's called to be. And in this case, not setting boundaries, for example, just staying there to give him the illusion, the appearance that everything's fine because Teresa's not going anywhere, isn't actually loving. Now, I'm not suggesting that people should just walk away from their marriage.
Not at all.
What I'm saying is, all right, marriage is a sacrament of healing. In fact, all sacraments are sacraments of healing. And specifically, the sacrament of marriage is meant to heal the damage that sin does to our ability to love each other as God loves us. And so that's the job that God created marriage to do. So doing the work of marriage means challenging our spouse and doing our best to cooperate with God's grace to be everything that God created us to be. So by you setting boundaries with your spouse, by maybe even you saying if he ignores those boundaries or ignores those invitations you give to work on the relationship, to say, well, look, I have to remove myself from the, I have to create distance in this relationship to show you that what you're doing is wrong and unhealthy and inappropriate and sinful. And I'm doing this not to destroy the marriage, but to call you on. And I can't participate in a relationship with a man who wants to have the illusion of a marriage but not do the work that grace requires of him in that marriage. And so I have to step back because that's the only way I can work for your good. So if you really love him, you'll do what's necessary to wake him up as best you can. Now, you can't make him get the message, but you can extend the invitation. And that's what your pastor is really talking about. He's not saying, you know, you should just walk away from the marriage. He's saying that whatever we do, we're called to work for the good of our spouse. And sometimes the best thing we can do is create distance between us and that person we love so that they can see that what they're doing is wrong. And in fact, that's exactly what happens to us in our relationship with God when we sin. God doesn't withdraw from us, but we do pull away from him. And he allows us to experience that sense of distance and separation as a way of bringing us back to him.
And he doesn't only do that when we sin. All right, let's take the fact that your marriage, all of our marriages, when we married in the church, is a sacrament. And let's look at the Eucharist, all right? We do not, no parish will just have the Eucharist consecrated, laying out on the altar or somewhere around the church for people to just walk in willy-nilly and do whatever they want with a consecrated host. What do we do? We only allow our priest to consecrate that host. That is their position. We lock the consecrated host in the tabernacle so nobody can come and use it in a way that it should not be used. And when we set up in boundaries in a marriage and say, no, you know, this sacrament is ours, these other people that you're involved in cannot just come and destroy this. We need to have boundaries the way we would lock away the Eucharist in the tabernacle until it can be appropriately served to the people in Mass or at, you know, at Eucharistic time when they need it. That is the same in our marriage. It's not an offense against the marriage to call your spouse on or call yourself on to live a healthier, holier marriage with you.
And if that means loving him enough to say, I can't be part of this illusion anymore, you either have to be willing to cooperate with the grace of the sacrament and build a relationship with me, or you have to admit that you're incapable of that. That is what it would loving him would really be. I'd really encourage you, Teresa, to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to unpack this further and really understand how to set the kind of boundaries that hopefully will bring him to the table, but at least give you the opportunity to continue to invite him to be a better man and understand what really loving somebody means, because I think that you're in a kind of codependent relationship with your husband that is undermining the sacrament. With that, I have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about anger today on More to Life. Do you have somebody in your life who's good at making you angry? Somebody who knows how to get under your skin, whether that's your spouse or your child or parents, a friend or family member? Or for that matter, do you have somebody who doesn't think twice about taking their anger out on you? We're helping you deal with anger gracefully. 877-573-7825.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I went to Las Vegas years and years ago for one of these cable shows. And I was shocked to see all these old ladies in their 70s and 80s getting off that plane, running for a slot machine. You don't have a chance to win. They're all fixed. I know, my uncle used to have slot machines.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled The Tempest. As we talk about struggling with anger and angry people, we want to help you calm the storms in your relationships. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Whether somebody is provoking you to anger or you're dealing with an angry person in your life, we want to help you manage that anger gracefully. 877-573-7825.
Before we continue our conversation about anger, we want to share some news that we are definitely not angry about. We have big news from our friends at Oklahoma Catholic Radio. Jeff and Kathy Fennell tell us that their newest station, KMSJ 90.9 FM, is now on the air in McAllister, Oklahoma.
Woo-hoo! Congratulations to Father Javita and his staff at St. John the Evangelist in McAllister for getting this station on the air. You know, as an aside, KMSJ is actually located 2 miles from the Oklahoma State Penitentiary in McAllister, known as Big Mac. And visiting the imprisoned is an important work of mercy. Jeff and Kathy are really excited to be able to get that radio signal over the walls of the prisoner to minister to the inmates. And they say that's been a goal of Oklahoma Catholic Radio to minister to prisoners for over a decade, and now they're able to do it through this newest station in McAlester, Oklahoma. So thank God he's blessed Oklahoma with this new station, and thank God for the Fennells.
Yes,
Father
truly.
Giudina.
I have to say, the Fennells' whole family are just so invested in serving God and ministering to his people, and they are truly a light to the world, and we are so grateful that they have this new station up and running.
And wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN affiliate with your prayers, certainly, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Catholic Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. Well, we are taking your calls right now on our show titled The Tempest. We're talking about anger and angry people. If you've got somebody in your life who's really good at provoking you to anger, and you kind of like kick yourself after, it's like, I don't want to feel that way toward them. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to lash out at them.
I don't want them to steal my peace. I don't want to become this person when they're around.
But I don't know what to do. Or maybe somebody's taking their anger out on you, and you're looking for grace-filled ways to diffuse that angry tension. We are here to help you find those ways to manage your own anger and the angry people in your life gracefully. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, the number 877-573-7825. We'll be talking more about helping you find graceful solutions to anger and angry people when More to Life continues after the break. Stick around.
What does the 10th commandment condemn? When the Lord God told us not to covet our neighbor's goods, he denounced envy, avarice, and greed as the root of theft, robbery, and fraud. Greed, the Catholic Catechism tells us, is the desire to amass earthly goods without limit. Avarice arises from a passion for riches and the power that attends to their possession. He who loves money never has money enough, says the Roman Catechism. The 10th commandment also requires us to banish envy from our hearts, reminding us that the devil's envy of God brought death into the world. Envy is defined as sadness seeing another's goods, accompanied by the immediate desire to possess those goods. Note, our Lord placed being poor in spirit at the top of the list of his 8 Beatitudes. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
In the midst of our culture today, in this age of relativism, which wants to grant Jesus some significance, but not so much, so we'll give him wise man, great leader, inspiring preacher, great teacher, prophet. You don't get that option when you claim to be God. What reasons do we have to believe that he is who he said he is? And it's important, again, to employ the use of our reason and to understand that faith is not blind. My faith, and please God, the faith of everyone here, is not blind. It rests on something. It rests on a number of things, not least of which is my own experience of God, but it also has something substantial which can be claimed through history. We're not talking about a galaxy long, long ago, far, far away when we talk about Jesus. We're talking about a precise moment in history which has been testified to by countless testimonies, and you and I have access to them.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Take a moment to measure your stress level right now on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 or 2 means you're completely relaxed. 5 means you've got some concerns, but you're mostly feeling good. At 8, you're getting angry. And at 10, you're feeling and acting outraged. This little exercise is something happily married couples regularly do. They monitor their emotional temperature so they can take steps to lower it before it gets too high. You see, when your temperature gets higher than a 7, cortisol and adrenaline flood your body, shutting down the rational problem-solving part of your brain. And when that happens, your response is likely to make the situation worse, not better. Happily married couples recognize this and take responsibility for regulating their own emotional temperature. They don't blame their spouse for their poor reaction. They realize they're the only one who can control that. If you struggle with regulating your emotional temperature, take heart in the fact that police officers, firefighters, and others have learned to control their response in really stressful situations. And you can too. To learn how, check out our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Or, if you want more personalized, faith-filled help, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled The Tempest, as we talk about anger and angry people. We want to help you calm the storms of your own anger or the people who are taking out their anger on you. Let's talk about it. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Ed, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California.
Hi, Ed. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Great,
good
thanks.
Morning. What can we do for you today?
I do property management, and Spanish-speaking mostly tenants that I have, and heart and soul into our properties that we maintain and we manage for others.
You're breaking up, Ed. I was wondering, I don't know if you can kind of get into a different position or something, but...
You might be near, like, a window or something that's breaking up your call, and we're missing, like, every other word or so now.
So, yeah. So just to recap, and then you can pick it. So you do property management. You work with a largely Hispanic population, and you work really hard to try to take good care of the properties, but then I lost you. We'll go on from there.
There's always seems to be one or two people in each building that even my assistant is super sweet with tenants and super nice person, and they always come in really aggressive at her and always challenge us when we hold them accountable for things. Like, we got a guy with hazardous things in his garage the other day. And I found people cooking with propane inside units and doing really things that are not done in this country, but they bring...
Well, very dangerous, sure.
Yeah. And I'm from Cuba. I'm from another country. So I understand. But trying to keep my peace with some of these folks, I sort of have been losing it, you know? It's... like, they challenge you, and they just, it seems like the enemy is trying to get into your peace. And even though they're doing something wrong, you hold them accountable, and they come at you, and they just go off and, being negative and hateful and not being rational at all. We have another place that we're doing a lead paint inspections, and this guy says, I don't want anybody working in my place, not where I eat, not where I drink, not where I sleep. Sir, it's for your own safety. It's mandatory. All the units need to be inspected just to be sure we don't have lead-based paints. It's an older place. So these are sort of the silly things that I've got to deal with.
No, I understand.
I want to keep my peace, at the same time do something correct for the legal aspects and for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, because if something happens to anyone, it's on you as the landowner to take the repercussions of that. So you're absolutely just and right in having to do these things.
So let's talk about how to manage people who are, either inappropriately angry or taking their anger out on you inappropriately in a situation like this. So the kind of anger that you're describing, I think, comes from a sense of powerlessness. I feel, I'm I'm used to doing things in a certain way. I feel kind of insecure. So I'm gonna, and then somebody comes along and tells me I can't do the thing, and that makes me feel threatened in some way.
And of course, when as you know, being someone from another country yourself, when everything doesn't feel like home, when everything feels just off in some way, no matter how hard you're trying to make a home, it's very easy to bring that fear and insecurity to the top by any kind of change at all.
Now, my point in saying that, though, is not to excuse their behavior. It's to just it's to show that their anger isn't really about you. You know, they're angry not at you, really not even at the rules. They're angry because they feel powerless. And the reason that's important is because you can't do anything about that. And the reason I say that is because when somebody's angry at us, our initial response, our automatic response, is to try to make them feel better, right? I want to talk to you until I've explained this to you and you can see the light of reason, and the light bulb will go off and you'll feel better, and then we can get on with our lives. When somebody is angry because they feel powerless, unless you could take away that sense of powerlessness, they're going to still be angry no matter what you say. And the more you try to convince them to see the light of reason, the angrier they get. Because it's really not about that. It's about them feeling powerless. And so it's important to recognize that, because if you can give yourself permission to not have to make this person happy, then that lets you that stops you from feeling so frustrated, because you allow yourself to escape the impossible problem. And that's where our anger comes from when we're dealing with those people. It's like, I it just feels impossible to make this person happy. What do I have to do? I'm like twisting myself into knots for this person, and still they're not happy. If you can recognize that, you know what, they feel powerless, and it's because they feel powerless, they're going to feel angry, and I could wish them a good day, and they'll still be angry. There's nothing I could do to make this person happy. So what you want to do instead then is use the broken record technique. You recognize that you can't change them, so you just keep repeating what the limit is, and not in a way that tries to convince them of anything, but just being able to, I'm very sorry you feel that way, sir. This is the rule, and I'm sorry. And then they scream at you some more. I'm very sorry you feel that way, sir, but this is the rule, and I'm sorry. And that's all you say, because nothing else you say will matter. So you might as well just keep holding that line. Let it bounce off of you, as opposed to trying to engage with them, because the more you do that, the more you're actually getting sucked into their drama. And if you were like a relative or a friend and getting sucked into that drama, you'd probably change, because you just want them to get off your back. But of course, you can't do that in this situation, so it's best to just keep that line where you're not taking it in anymore, you're not concerning yourself with trying to make them happy, because you can't take away the powerlessness that is causing their anger, so the best you can do is just keep using that broken record technique. It's not a perfect solution, but it's really the best one that's there, and it lets you off the hook for feeling like this is a personal attack, or that it's your responsibility to make them see reason or feel better, which you can't do either of those things. So, Ed, we will certainly add you to our More to Life prayer list, that God would give you his peace and enable you to kind of hold on to that center that I'm talking about. But yeah, just give yourself permission to stop trying to make them happy or see reason. By all means, explain it to them, be compassionate, but if they're taking that compassion and that attempt to support and explain things to them, and turning it on you in anger, just hold that line with that broken record technique that I was just sharing with you, and that'll help you at least maintain your cool. Thanks so much for the call, Ed. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We're talking about anger, the people who provoke us to anger, and the people who take their anger out on us. We want to help you find grace-filled solutions for all the ways that anger is complicating your life on our show today, titled The Tempest. And as we head out to our next break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32.
Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you.
You know, it's an important reminder of how to respond to disagreements, divisions, conflicts. But again, this does not mean, like I was saying earlier, that we have to be nice all the time. What it means is we have to be loving all the time. And to love somebody sometimes means letting certain things go and bearing those wrongs patiently. But other times, loving that person means admonishing them, which is that other spiritual work of mercy that we've been talking about throughout the program. And because the goal here is at all times to work for each other's good. And when you're facing an angry person or dealing with anger yourself, it's important to express that anger in a way that is appropriate, proportionate, and productive, or to invite the other person to express their anger in a way that's appropriate, proportionate, and productive. And if we need to set some boundaries to make that happen, then that's okay too. But either way, we are working for that other, the good of the other person, and putting away that malice that wants to drag us into the mud where anger lives. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled The Tempest, as we talk about the storms that anger can produce in our relationships, either because we are being provoked to anger or because other people are taking out their anger on us. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Before we go to our next caller, you know, one of the places where we experience a lot of anger is in family life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kids get under our skin and our spouse annoys us, and it's hard to know how to handle all the chaos all the time. And that's why we created the Catholic HOM app. It's Catholic Home. It stands for Catholic Households on Mission. And it's not just another parenting app, another parenting resource. It's a support system for Catholic families. Because we provide daily coaching for Catholic parents and creative resources to help you build the more loving, caring, connected Catholic family life that you're longing for. You can interact with Lisa and me every day, get parenting advice and encouragement and support and inspiration. And our whole team of pastoral counselors is on there too, helping to coach you. Plus, you get lots of creative resources like exclusive podcast content, monthly downloadable activities to make living the faith at home simple and fun, monthly live stream events. So in fact, tonight, we're doing a live Q&A for all of our Catholic Home members who get to ask questions and share successes and meet other families just like them who are working to build a Catholic household on mission. And we'd love to share all of this with you. In fact, we'd love to see you tonight at our Catholic Home Live Q&A. That's this evening, Thursday, June 5th at 7 p.m. Eastern. All the information for joining it is on the Catholic Home app, and we want to share all that with you. You can get 2 months free with an annual subscription of $149, or you can go with a monthly subscription of only $14.95 a month. The subscription covers both you and your spouse for the coaching and all your kids for all the fun activities and downloadables and other resources you'll find there. You don't have to feel overwhelmed or alone as a Catholic parent anymore, especially not with Catholic HOM to help. Subscribe today wherever you get your apps and become part of the Catholic HOM community. Let Lisa and I help you create the Catholic family life you're longing for. Hope to see you there tonight, especially, and be part of the Catholic HOM community. With that, let's go to our next caller, Lisa, who's on deck.
We're talking with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Maria. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi. I want to get some advice. My husband and I have been married for 20 years, and we have different personalities that I think he's always been more passive towards things, but he's a very good person. But over the last year that I started doing travel work, I just became more frustrated because I've always been like the CEO of the house and handling things for our daughters, and who are teenagers, and actually two of them are in college. So I thought it was a good time for me to be able to advance my career, and but I just learned that I've been becoming more frustrated than anything with my husband not doing what I tell him to do. Like I give him a to-do list or something like that, you know, to take care of with the family and children while I'm away, and that initially was anger when he wasn't doing things, but lately it has become more into resentment. And it's also anger from his side. And a couple of times he's been so angry because he does not want to be reminded or he doesn't want to be nagged, to the point that at some point last year he said, you know what, after the kids are completely out of the house, I don't want to continue with this relationship. I'm done. Mm. But he throws that in a moment of just anger, explodes, and then a few days later, he wants to have the same kind of relationship as if nothing had happened. And it hurts me. And it really wants me. And it's funny because then a week later, he's like, you know, hugging me or pretending nothing has happened. And I started going to therapy because we used to go to therapy in the past. But he doesn't want to go back to marriage counseling. He says, I know what I'm going to hear. They're going to tell me what I'm doing wrong. I'm tired of that. I just want to leave my life. It almost sounds like a midlife crisis, even though he's 55. I don't know.
Has he been more, I guess, you know, when you say it's a midlife crisis, has he been more helpful and more receptive to your invitations to be more involved in the family life and taking care of family stuff before? Or is this just since you started, you know, traveling for your career?
Well, before I used to take care of everything, so I never.
See, it's not a midlife crisis. It's not a midlife crisis at all. It's that he never had to do anything before, and you were happy to just kind of do it, and he was happy to let you, and now there's a different dynamic where you're actually needing him to be a partner, and he's never been expected to do that before, and so he doesn't know what to do with that partnership.
And not only does he probably not know what to do with the partnership, but Maria, he probably doesn't know what to do. So you described yourself as the CEO of the family, and now you give him lists. My question is, have you ever trained him to do your job? You know, if you were a CEO of a company and you just gave somebody, some employee in the company, a list of stuff and said, here, run this, they wouldn't necessarily know how to, and they might get kind of rebellious. And you also want to respect that he's a full-grown adult. And he wants to be able to be in charge in his way.
Maria, let me ask you a question. When you do ask him to do things, is he receptive to it? Does he do them sometimes? Like, kind of, what's his attitude in general toward being asked to do any of these things?
So if it is on a text message, he says, okay. But then 3 days later or a week later when I'm about to come home, it's like, hi, how is the list going? And I realize he never read the list. And when you were asking me if I train him, I mean, I do things with him to show him how to do it. And then at the end, he comes back and tells me, I haven't done it because, honestly, I think you can do it better. And I know that you're going to...
All right. So, he's weaponizing incompetence here. I mean, so he just doesn't want to do it. It's and the only way to address that... honestly, I'm glad to hear that you've been doing some counseling, but the only way to address that is by setting some boundaries that really force the issue with him. And it's too difficult to get into what that would look like on the air, but I just want to encourage you that you want to talk with your counselor about how to raise the stakes. Not because you're threatening the relationship, but to be able to say to him, you know, I love you, and you need to be a better man than this. God wants you to be a better man than this. He wants you to be my partner and my friend. And right now, I can't count on you to be either of those things. And that's undermining our marriage. So, for example, when he comes back, like you guys have that big fight where he says, I'm going to leave you, and, you know, because you've asked him to maybe do the dishes or pick up something or whatever. And he comes back, you know, a couple of days later, and suddenly he wants to make all nice with you. I think it's important to say to him, honey, I love you, and I want this relationship to work, and I would love to be able to, you know, just be back to where we want to be. But I can't do that until there's a change here, because I can't pretend that everything's okay. You don't want to be my friend or my partner, and I'm not going to pretend now that you feel better that we are friends and partners. You know, when you're willing to sit down with me and work out how you're going to follow through with the things that I've asked you to do, the things that this family needs you to do to be the husband and father God is calling you to be, then we can talk about restoring our relationship as much as you'd like to. But until then, it's just pretend, and I'm not going to pretend with you. We can either be friends and partners or not. How would you like to handle that? And I want you to work with your counselor to really figure out how to raise the stakes so that it kind of brings him to the table, because he sees that things are changing with him or without him. That's what it's going to take. As long as he thinks that there's a way for him to just wiggle around it and get Maria to just do the job that she's always done before, that's what he's going to do. But if you are working with a counselor who can help you set those boundaries, that really kind of challenge him in that and spoil his efforts to stay apart from that partnership, then that's where you want to be focusing. If you're not getting that kind of support, then I'd encourage you to reach out to us at Catholic Counselors, because we can talk about how to respect the integrity of the marriage while still setting those kinds of boundaries. But at the very least, the thing I want you to take away from this call is don't let him get away with just coming back to you a couple of days later with nothing changed and then just pretend everything's fine. You know, you can look at him and say, I'm really glad that you're feeling better. Now we can have that conversation about how you need to follow through with the things that you promise you're saying that you're going to follow through on. And then he'll get mad at you. And he'll say, well, I can't believe you're bringing that up. So I'm trying. Why are you so mean? Why are you? Well, because I love you. And because you are a better man than this. And I deserve a better partner and friend than you're giving me. And I can't move on and just pretend that everything's okay when it's not. Do you want to be my friend and partner or not? Because this is what I need from my friend and my partner. And if you're wanting to do that, then we can have a great relationship. And if you're not, we're going to have some problems, because I love you too much to not let you, to let you off of being this man that I need, that God wants you to be. And just, you know, man to man out there, guys, you know, it is not about helping our spouse. It's about being a partner to our spouse and helping to lead the family through service. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus led by being a servant. That's how we lead.
He washed feet. He cooked breakfast. He did these things that we are called to do no matter who we are.
And we are not called to be babies who are just catered to. We're called to be men of God who serve our spouse and our children, and model Christ to our spouse and our children. So, you know, if you're listening out there and in what Maria is describes you, time to man up. And we've been taking your calls about anger today on More to Life. And if you are dealing with anger, I just want to say, you know, again, anger itself is not the problem. It's the way we express our anger. You know, we had two calls today on the show from people who felt badly that they felt angry about things that really they should be angry about.
Yeah.
You know, but the question isn't, do I feel anger or not? The question is, how am I expressing that anger? If I'm expressing my anger in a way that is appropriate, proportionate, and productive, then that is righteous anger, right? I'm addressing an offense, and by responding to that offense in an appropriate, proportionate, and productive way, I'm building the kingdom, because the kingdom doesn't exist where there are wounds and offenses. That's where the ruins of the kingdom are. And I go in there to rebuild that part of the kingdom by addressing that offense in an appropriate, proportionate, and productive way. On the other hand, if I respond to an offense in an inappropriate, unproductive, and disproportionate way, well, I'm burning down more of the kingdom. And that's why that's why wrath is a sin. Wrath is anger that's expressed inappropriately, disproportionately, unproductively. But if you're angry and you're able to respond to that offense in a way that is appropriate, proportionate, and productive by being your best self and calling the other person to be better, that's righteous. And if you're looking for ways to manage anger and angry people more effectively in grace-filled ways, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'd be happy to hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.